People say it to me a lot. They say, I like to think of myself as a spiritual sort of person, they say, but really I have no time for organized religion. No time for organized religion. Oh, really? I say to them. Well, let me tell you, it's a lot better than disorganized religion. A lot better. Think of the dangers of the alternative to organized religion. For a start, there's the danger of heresy. Now, heresy is not a word you hear every day in 2023, but the question it raises is a real one and a valid one. It raises the issue, does it matter what people believe? You'd like to think it does, that not all opinions are equally valid, all beliefs identical. And it begs the question as to just how broad you can make your definition of Christian. You can believe what you like, call yourself what you like. Just don't stick the label Christian onto it, just because that adds gravitas or gets you a better hearing. There is some seriously weird stuff out there, masquerading as the real deal, hijacking the name Christian as a convenient badge for what is not Christian at all. So the church has a right and a responsibility to draw lines. And organized religion can do that. At least set the boundaries of orthodoxy. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, are they Christian? Or so far removed from mainstream Christianity as to have no real place under that umbrella? When you study the colourful and sometimes ugly history of church debates about doctrine, you discover that old heresies just reappear. Dangerous sects emerge with delinquent doctrines and bizarre rites and rituals, all claiming to be Christian. As the founder of Scientology, Ron L. Hubbard, said, if you want to get rich, start a religion. But who decides what's mainstream? Creedal faith. Organized religion establishes the parameters, and when it is acceptable to change those parameters. Again, when religion is disorganized rather than the much maligned organized kind, there is increased risk of the abuse of power. For all its clunky bureaucratic slowness, at least within organized religion, there are strict definitions and requirements. You can't just set yourself up and do what you want. You can't just become one of these cult leaders that so many fragile people come to follow and dedicate themselves to. The James Joneses and the David Koreshes and the Mr. Moons, you would simply not get away with that in organized religion. For there is control and accountability. There are expectations and requirements. There is sharp observation and collegiate peer group supervision and monitoring, be it the Presbyterian system or the Episcopal system. Say what you like about an element of command and control, but it does head off unhealthy chaos at the pass. Furthermore, in a religious universe where everyone just does their own thing, it's easy to get away with lower standards of leadership. No imperative to provide an educated ministry, no genuine academic requirements, no minimal professional standards. It's wise to have a degree of quality control, you would think. A system where you can't just self-refer, with all the accompanying dangers of that. You should listen to me because God told me to tell you that you should listen to me. No. You should listen to me because I have been checked out, my sense of calling to this high service rigorously assessed. I have demonstrated my willingness to do my homework with vigour and intellectual integrity, and I'm not just saying what I imagine God told me this morning over breakfast, that the truth is this or that. I have studied and thought through and been taught and tested and discovered the great historic faith of the church. And will not jettison those years of preparation because something occurred to me this morning, which I have arbitrarily decided God told me. You'll notice too that with disorganized religion, there are very clear patterns of division, tendencies to schism and conflict. In the mainstream traditions of the church, ideally, there's less chance of breaking away over the small print and doing your own thing. We know that hasn't always worked. It's a bit ironic to talk about the benefits of organized religion in fostering stability and loyalty and the oneness of the Spirit of Christ that he wishes for his church, here in a Reformation church, symbolic of one of the great breakups in the history of the church's story, one that brought huge and dreadful outcomes, guilty as charged. But nonetheless, without structure and organisation and identifying with the body of Christ, the body of the church, without shape, it can become anarchic and simply down to style and preference. I don't like the version of the Bible you use, so I'm leaving to start a new church. I don't like the hymn book you use, so I'm off to plant another fellowship. I don't like the seats, I don't like the curtains, I don't like the minister. I don't like the version of the Lord's Prayer you use, so I'm out. I'll start my own church that will be just the way I like it to be. We're off to do our own thing. But broken fragments do not make for good testimony to the oneness of the Spirit of Christ. Without organisation, shape, structure, identity, loyalty, the church can become inward-looking and defensive. If anything goes, an enemy can do what they want and do their own thing. The risk is that we focus on our own situation. We blank out the bigger picture. Our own survival, our own identity, our own agenda, our own image, our own success. And churches become concerned with competitive survival. Church leaders who are owned by their members, beholden to their wishes, hostage to their whims, looking over their shoulder all the time and hoping that people will not fall out with them over this issue or that preference, can lead to the prophetic word being silenced by fear of how it will be received, how it will impact. Whereas under the mainstream banner of mainstream church life, church leaders should be released to go about our business without glancing nervously over our shoulder at how we seem to other people. Instead, we are free to declare, this is our brand, this is the Church of Scotland, this is who we are and what we do, and to do that without fear or favour in the historical continuity of what we present to the world. Sometimes without the discipline of being part of an organised kind of religious life, we can find church expressions that evidence too narrow a viewpoint, because they're ploughing their own furrow and have little sense of being part of the whole. They can develop a lopsided thinking that is literally unbalanced, that the faith is all about this one thing, this one aspect, this one issue. The emphasis should only be on this element, or that we should focus solely on this dimension of the faith, this small part of the story. The discipline of shared journeying can prevent a too narrow perspective, that it's all about this or it's only about that. It's about a lot of things. And being part of the organised church means that we need to keep our eye on that, and we can't go off on one. We can't pursue a particular bee in our particular bonnet, so that any overemphasis can go uncorrected, unchallenged. Tilts and balances never addressed, because we're all following our own star, and there's no wider community of shared faith, no college of commitment and critique to call in question the skews and the quirks that are creeping into our thinking and our practice. Being part of the much misunderstood organised religion set means that there will be talk, there will be connections that challenge our lopsidedness, or our drift from the centre. The danger with disorganised religion, what makes it not actually a better thing than organised religion, is that it can become, because it has no context, it can be no religion at all. Just a mishmash, a melange of half-formed, unchallenged selections and interpretations from bits of the heartland of faith that we like, rendered unrecognisable by uncorrected emphases that become more and more narrow and less in line with the historic faith of the church. Some people like that disorganised religion, and somewhat sneer at the tired old dinosaur, as they perceive it, of organised religion groaning under the weight of its own history. But they're buying a pup, those who do that, who disrespect and caricature organized religion. They're buying a pup, and not a cuddly, friendly one that will grow into something immensely loyal and lovely, but the other kind of pup, the car that won't start with the rusty axle and the dodgy steering. That kind of pup that leaves you stranded on a lonely road when the rain is falling and you're far from home.